Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
I mentioned Andrew Tate, the controversial social media character, and many say he's stoking hatred of women online. Others argue he's been misunderstood. But I just want to get the thoughts of people on whether you're concerned about his influence and the influence that he seems to have on young people in particular. I mentioned parents and teachers maybe. I'm interested in your thoughts on this today if you want to get in contact. Annette is with me on the line. Annette, maybe just first of all outline for us or explain, when did you first become aware of Andrew Tate?
Hi, Andrea. I became aware of Andrew Tate through my son. He's 16. So probably about two years ago, I started hearing the name coming up, you know, Andrew Tate said this, Andrew Tate said that. And I thought, okay, you know, and I didn't really know an awful lot about him. And I suppose the initial messages that I was getting from my son was that, you know, he was encouraging them to be fit and you know, this kind of thing, really. But I suppose it's become a little bit more sinister, the messages that have been coming out from this chap. Now, thankfully, we have a very open relationship with our son, and he's quite open about what he hears and quite willing to talk about it and debate it in some ways. His own view would be he's absolutely not an Andrew Tate lover. He doesn't follow him. He's aware of him through kids in school, and he sees, you know, things that are said and so on. And he's willing to take pieces that he believes apply to him. But he's someone who has, I suppose, a sister and, you know, a mother who's, we're all quite opinionated in our house. So nobody can just have, you know, an undebated opinion about anything. Mm. And Andrew Tate is the same. But what I have started to realise myself, and, you know, there's no point in debating something that you're not familiar with or that you don't bother to read up about, is that this particular chap, him and the likes of Jordan Peterson, are actually appealing to young men and teenagers currently because there are little or no supports available for this particular group, in my view, and it is just my view. If you don't identify as something else, so if you're not in some other kind of category, be it LGBTQ or be it, you know, feminist, or, you know, part of Black Lives Matters or some other category, if you're just plain old straight Joe, there's no supports for you in society today. All you hear, if you're in this particular group, and this has been said to me, is that they're privileged, you know, privileged white guy, privileged man. They exude toxic masculinity. They can't just be masculine anymore. They have to be toxic in front of it. Society recognises all other groups, encourages them to be all they can be, whatever they want to be. They're told they can be whatever they want to be. But what's our message to young straight men, men of any colour? What is it? We don't give them a message. And this is where Andrew Tate has come in. He has recognised this. He has recognised that there's a group of young men out there floundering. We know that the brain doesn't fully mature until you're 25. So between the ages of 12 and 25, you've got a group of you know, very vulnerable people in society who are just looking for messages. Mm. Young men want to live meaningful lives. They, you know, but what's that perceived to be in today's society? In the past, it was quite clear, not saying it was right, but they had a place in society that they felt that they had to fill. Now we don't do anything to support these new societal norms. Yes, in the workplace, if you're over 30 or whatever, you're told you can be equal and can be all of this. Our young people aren't mature enough to see that yet. So Tate and the likes of him are filling this void, albeit inappropriately. You know, they are able to describe young men how they feel.
So whether you agree with that or not, I suppose part of his appeal has come from a kind of a backlash, if you want to call it that, against progressive movements, social movements.
Yeah, and I don't think it's quite that straightforward. I think it's just, you know, that you have lots of you know, society is brilliant today. You can be, and you don't have to hide what your true identity is if you're, you know, if you're anything outside of, you know, if you're gay or whatever. That, and it's fantastic. It makes for much much better society. But not everybody identifies as something, and we've kind of started to label what would have been in the past considered the norm. We've started to label it inappropriately, and I think that that's having an effect on young men. When you, if you get past the age of 25 or 30, you kind of realise, okay, hold on, I can actually make sense of all of this. But prior to that, when you're at your most vulnerable, you're gangly, you haven't quite grown into a man, or physically, and you've got this guy telling you, here's how to get the girls, here's how to get a great physique, here's how to make money, here's what I do. And that message is then filled with arrogance and whatever, and your brain is not equipped to deal with that messaging, and you maybe don't feel you have the outlet, maybe you don't have a close relationship with your parents, maybe your peer group are listening to the same messages, and then you've got this kind of mentality that we're all in this together. I think it's having
And just to net on that, I just want to bring in a couple of other people and get their thoughts as well. So I suppose I was going to ask you, how concerned were you about the influence that he could or potentially might have been having on your own son? But this is something that you guys have talked about openly for 2 years.
I am concerned somewhat that, that there is this messaging out there. But as I say, I think we're lucky enough. And funnily enough, I told my son I was coming on today, and I said, "Would you come on and talk about it?"
Yeah, would he?
And he said, "No."
Would he not? Right?
No, you know why? he said, "I'm clever enough to know." He said, "Ma'am, that if I try to even say that there are some elements of bettering myself that I might have gotten some okay messaging." He said, "I'm going to be villainized." He said, "It won't matter what I say after that, because everyone will be quick to call me these labels." And, as I say, we're very lucky because we have a very, thankfully, so far so good. And, he's able to articulate himself. But not everybody is in that position. And we do have a lot of young men out there who haven't been provided with the support that they need to grow up, to lead the meaningful lives that they really, really want to lead.
Okay.
Don't forget, as teenagers, we all want to be edgy and offensive and provocative. That's part of growing up. That's how you learn what's appropriate.
Okay.
We tell our young women when they are that they're, we encourage them. Well, yes, you have the right to be this, before you would have been. But what are we telling our young men? Don't be masculine because you're toxic. So, I just worry about the messaging that we have out there.
Okay. No, you make a good point.
I'm certainly not in any way condoning anything.
No, I know that. Oh no, I didn't think you were. I mean, not at all, and I didn't think you were. And that's I wanted to have this discussion today because. You need to hear. I mean, in order to have a fulfilled discussion about this, you need to hear all sides of it. And I know, and look, I appreciate your son, you mightn't want to join us or chat to us, but I suppose in order to be able to have this conversation, we do need to hear a variety of opinions on it. And then you, the listeners, and myself, we can make our own minds up then, I suppose, after that. 1800 453 106 is the number. And I'd stay on the line if you don't mind. Let me bring in Robin too, though. Robin, well, first of all, how concerned are you about the influence that Andrew Tate has?
Hi, Andrea. I'm pretty concerned. I would say, so I'm in my 30s, I'm media literate and I'm a woman, so I'm not exactly his target audience, but I am constantly fed his content. And worse is that there are Irish versions of him coming out of the woodwork too that just are increasing on the day. And I'm, as I said, media literate. I curate my own feed and make sure I'm exposed to the information I'm exposed to and block out the other stuff. But even as me, like in my 30s, and not being able to do that, I can't imagine what it's like being 10 and 15 and having to understand, what I should be exposed to and what is real and okay to be consuming and be influenced by. I know we talked about kids there as well, and I agree with it out there. She takes some really good points about just being kind of open to influence then, and then that's kind of breeding ground for these type of fundamentalist mentality. And the other thing I would just say, try not to look at it as like for other parents who may be thinking, my kid hasn't mentioned his name or they don't have a phone. Like if you think about when you're 10 and 15, like you're exposed to things going on in the world anyway, whether your parents know or not. and try not to shield them from it, but try to look for alternative role models. Like, have a discussion with them, and you know, find out from them if they do know of his name or what their thoughts are, in a really safe environment, like an asset of finding out what it is. Like, in terms of societal standards, he was deemed successful and, you know, being uber fit, you know, accumulated a massive amount of wealth and things like that, you know, years ago, and that's what has brought people into to you know, his channels and narrative and things like that. But also, not only kids, I would be having conversations with your brothers, your partners, your parents, you know, everybody in your family, stuff like that. Like, I've had experience where I've spoken to people about it and shocked to hear that, you know, they might be advocating for him. Like, you know, well, the idea that supporters think that we're only seeing the bad, we're only talking about the bad. But when the bad is so illegal that you're not allowed to live in America or the UK, then what is the supposed good with that? And it's really important to have those conversations. They're uncomfortable, but unfortunately, it's not just children that's being influenced by this. It's grown-ups, and they're in positions of authority. And they're, you know, we work with them, we live with them, and try not to admonish people for it, but create a space where you can find out an alternative. Like, is it that you want to be your best self and driven and find motivation in the community? There are plenty of other role models there. And, like, you know, hold people's hands in finding them and engage with them on that.
Edward is on the line as well, Robin and Annette. Edward, do you have concerns?
Not so much. I think that I agree with a lot of what Annette has said. She makes some very good points. But what I'd like to say is I think that generally 80% of what Andrew Tate is actually positive for young children and anyone, really. I mean, the other 20% is, he's an outrageous guy. But I think it's up for debate. But, I mean, the 80% of what he actually does say is that you need to work hard, get a job, focus on your fitness and self-accountability. And I think that when people discount everything that he says, a lot of the positive things that he says, such as these things, are also thrown out the window.
So you think the kind of the accusation that he sort of stands accused of stoking hatred of women among kind of young or impressionable children, you think that's in the 20%?
Yes, I do. I mean, the problem is a lot of what... I have never seen a clip of Andrew Tate on TikTok because I don't have TikTok. But the clips of Andrew Tate on TikTok are the most stimulating, controversial points that anyone can see. I've only ever seen Andrew Tate in interviews on YouTube that are maybe 2 hours, 3 hours long. And you actually get to see him digest his points and make a real point of what he's trying to say. But people only, young people especially, I think, they don't even have the attention span or the will to look at something online, or they just want 10 seconds of seeing what Andrew Tate's saying that's controversial. So I think a lot of it is taken out of context.
Okay, do you agree with that, Robin? I mean, he's sort of been misunderstood.
I absolutely hear where you're coming from. Again, the role model, societal ideals of success, fit, wealthy, wanting to get up in the morning. And that may be 80%, but when 20% is actually, like, this person has been open about how he imprisons women to accumulate wealth. That's imprisoning a person. That's enslavement. We're not talking about someone who's just talking about, which is problematic in itself, talking about, you know, degrading women. But he's open about these things. And that's one of the reasons he can't live in certain countries. And now one of the reasons now he's under investigation. Like, it's not that you're saying, okay, what they're saying is problematic, or I just don't agree with that 20%. Actually, what he's talking about is illegal. Like, that's really, really serious. But I completely understand that 80%. That 80% is what we look to. You know, we go to work every day. We're looking for role models. We're looking for inspiration, especially in January when it's grim outside. But there are alternatives. There are so many fantastic role models. So again, you might not agree with the 20%, but they're not illegal. They're, you know, 80% of them are telling you to drive, telling us to get up at 5 a.m. Like, one in particular is Mel Robbins, and I follow her, and she's fantastic for that. And, you know, I don't agree with everything she says, but I can keep with, you know, the majority of it. But none of it is bordering, you know, like, we're talking imprisonment of people. That's massive.
Ben is with us too. Ben, where are you in this discussion?
What's the crack? Right, so basically, Robin keeps using the word slavery and imprisonment. I have no idea where she got that from. But my biggest kind of issue when it comes to this Andrew Tate situation is not that people like him or don't like him. I think it's more the fact that, I think Edward was saying it as well, it's more the fact that people are getting these clips from TikTok, which are the most controversial and stimulating and would be tend to be the, go the most viral, when in reality, I think people need to look at his interviews. Like, he has two really good interviews with Piers Morgan, and I think they're an hour, 2 hours long.
Right.
And I think people need to start actually hearing his whole narrative instead of just clips, because people are being told by news outlets and other companies that, yeah, Andrew Tate's bad, he's this, he's that, he's been accused of human trafficking, rape, and all this. So people are like, oh yeah, fresh, this guy is a bad person. When in reality, they need to look at the interviews, they need to see Andrew Tate, what he's actually about, and formulate their own opinion. And if they still don't like him after that, that is fair enough.
Well, 1.4 million people have viewed these videos on TikTok. He's over 3.5 million on Instagram. And a lot of the videos, like any of the stuff that I've, you know, looked at in chatting about this, you know, it's like the content is often, Ben, misogynistic in nature. Like, it's not, I don't think I need to sit down to look at 2 1-hour long interviews of him to see these short, like some of these short clips, not some of them, they're often fairly misogynistic.
Do you have any examples?
Well, like when you look at any of the
stuff. I can give examples.
Go on ahead. Well, who's that, Robin or Annette?
Robin.
Yeah, go on ahead, Robin.
One specific example is that he has openly said multiple times that he will imprison a woman and allure her in under false pretenses. Force her to become an online sex worker and then take all and use all of the wealth that she's had from her. So she would be working for him in terms of sex trafficking, which is one of the reasons he's been now in an investigation for it. I completely understand you, Ben. You're looking for role models, and everybody is. But when you're talking about elite, and it's unfortunate that we get to the point that it's like, it's not just speaking about misogyny, which is still horrendous. But like, these are illegal acts, and he's condoning that.
Robin,
and they're not
No, he denies the wrongdoing, I know, in relation to the arrest last month in Romania. But look, aside from that, right, I want to get the views today of people who, you heard from Annette there, Ben, I'm sure you heard Annette at the start. Annette, you're still with us, like talking about listening to her son, you know, chat about Andrew Tate for the last 2 years, and he's talking about friends talking about this in school, or people in the class or whatever chatting about it.
I think what's useful, Andrea, is that if you listen to a clip, say, for example, as I would have asked my son to find something and play it for me and, you know, different things, and then discuss it. And where there's a female element to it, you know, we ask them to imagine that being his sister or his cousin or whatever, you know. And as you say, he absolutely has no time for any of that, you know, very male chauvinistic pieces that he comes out with. But it is about being able to have an informed conversation with your sons or young men as they grow into young men, because I do think it is important to hear them, because that's the role that Andrew Tate is playing at the moment. They feel he understands them and the rest of us don't. And as long as that's the situation, we're in a no-win situation here, you know. We have to make it okay for these young men to have a personal identity, and we just need to teach them how to harness the feelings they have into something more useful, and stop labelling them always with these terrible phrases that we use. That's just my view on
it. Yeah. Do you agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, I actually do. But the thing is that these women that are around Andrew Tate, they are all profiting from being around him. He said in clips before, you see, he started out his business doing dealing with cam models and stuff, and he said in interviews before that he split the money 50-50 with them. So these women aren't being slaves; they aren't stuck with them. They're staying around they're profiting.
But just on the points that Annette made there about for people, I suppose, that are listening to Andrew Tate or follow him or whatever, so you know, have subscribed or look at his social media posts or whatever. Is it people who? who feel like Annette's point there, is it young people who maybe feel they're not in a category, or that, you know what I mean, that there's no one else by way of a role model who speaks to them or relates to them? Is that the case?
Do you understand there are rushes of hormones that can exist, you know, which does happen at a particular age, you know, and they see this stuff, and he's got the women, he's got the money, he's got the wealth. And look, Ben, I'm not denying that all of what you've said is true in terms of his messages for working hard and so on and so forth. They are the pieces that are very, very important. Unfortunately, they are being tainted with this, okay, and not so nice.
Just,
but you have to be able to talk about
Ben,
that.
Ben, just
as
come
well
in on that. So just if you don't, I just want to get your thoughts there on Annette's point.
So, sorry, I'm following along, but what exactly are you asking me?
Andrew Tate.
Okay.
What is his appeal to young Irish teenagers, men, women, whatever? Why do people like him, follow him, listen to him?
Because I think people from the ages 18 to 25 are tired of hearing from their role models that they've just been told to follow, be weak, you know, everything is okay, oh, you have depression, take these pills, you'll feel better, stay at home. Do you know what I mean? When in reality, Andrew Tate has come along and he said, start going to the gym, get up off your arse, work hard. And you know what? Men are seeing that, and they're seeing that as, okay, finally, someone is actually hearing us and knows how a lot of us feel. You know, like, I have a brother, Aaron. He's a bit older than me, and he used to be very shy and very kind of insecure, and he used to always kind of have trouble being out in public. And ever since Andrew Tate has come along, he's been able to kind of come out of his bubble and talk more. And he used to even have trouble, like, stuff like answering a door to a takeaway or something. Whereas of now, he told me himself, ever since he's been listening to Andrew Tate, his whole life has turned around. So that's just one example I can give.
Okay.
But I think the reality is that, like, men are just tired of just hearing the same narrative. You know,
so that's you're agreeing, Ben, with what I said at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the point. I wanted to figure out where's the appeal, or who's, you know, what is the message, I suppose, that resonates with people, whether they're young, old, you know, whatever gender, whatever. Listen, stay with us if you don't mind. There's a lot of people getting in touch with us about this. Stay on the line. 1800 453 106 is the number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
We've been talking about whether you're concerned about the influence Andrew Tate, the controversial social media character that he has on young people in Ireland, I suppose global really, but we're talking about it here in the context of this country. I heard a variety of different views there, quite interesting, on the show before the break. Edel is on the line. Edel, what's your opinion on this?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I'm coming at this, I suppose, from a different point of view. I work for a company called Ring Training Solutions, and we have provided training in schools for parents and teachers and professionals for the last number of years. So we're constantly talking to students about the influence, I suppose, that social media influencers or celebrities have on the opinions and the behaviours of young people. And I think that Andrew Tate highlights this to a degree, because while his behaviour can only be, in my opinion, condemned, it brings a larger conversation and brings to the forefront the impact that celebrities and online influence can have on our young people. And it also brings to the attention of parents, I suppose, a conversation that needs to be started with their young people to talk to them about what exactly it is they're seeing online and how that is making them feel and how that is impacting their views and their behaviour. Because I suppose it brings a whole other issue of, you know, do we want our young people to be getting their sex education? Do we want them to be getting their body image? Do we want them to be getting information about eating disorders, suicide, all of that, from online influencers like Andrew Tate? And I always use, when I'm speaking to parents, a kind of parallel that you wouldn't allow your child to be dropped off in a city for the day and not leave them there without giving them warnings and talking to them about the positives and the negatives that they will experience. And it's kind of the same thing with online. It's having that conversation about, you know, what is it that they're seeing, what to watch out for. And if something does happen to them online, or they're seeing material that's making them feel angry, sad, upset, in any all of those range of emotions, that they can speak to their parents or teachers or youth workers around that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Edel. I have to be honest, I didn't know a huge amount about Andrew Tate until a month ago. You know, and I spoke to, you know, Annette there earlier, and she was talking about hearing his name being mentioned by her son, who was 16 2 years ago, and it's coming up more and more frequently. And I could be totally wrong, but I assume that, you know, it's probably in more recent times or recent months that maybe parents are hearing more about this name, Andrew Tate. But, you know, do they know what he's about?
Exactly. And I think as a parent, there is a responsibility to know what your children are looking at online. And if you're hearing a name like Andrew Tate, which is one of many that is having an influence on your child, or if you're hearing that they're constantly watching this particular influencer celebrity, to find out a little bit about them. And it can be from doing a little bit of research yourself, but also about starting the conversation with your children and talking to them, both in a positive and a negative way, about the positive things they're seeing online, and also about the negatives and how that's making them feel. And just starting that conversation and keeping it going, not as a one-off, let's talk about Andrew Tate today and then just park that, but to repeatedly talking about what it is that they're seeing and the impact it's having on their views and their behaviour.
I was sent in, I have a document here that I got, and it's a fairly hefty, you know, printout document, and it's called A Bold Voices Schools Toolkit, How to Talk to Young People About Andrew Tate. And this is something, I suppose, an advice piece that was sent out to some teachers in the UK about how to chat to, you know, how to chat to students about Andrew Tate and others as well. I'm sure plenty of other social media influencers. Do you think schools have a role to play here? Like, should they be having this conversation, or is it up to the parents?
I think that it has to be a holistic approach. I think that there has to be an element of the schools do have to give it from an authority point of view. I think that the parents definitely do have a part to play because they can talk to it on an individual point of view. But it definitely is something that needs to be discussed more, because it has such an impact on our young people, and they are getting their education from online. And I think even from a parent's perspective or a teacher's perspective, we have to remember that what you see online, so what you see when you go on your TikTok and your Instagram and your YouTube and your social media, that is what our young people are seeing as well. And sometimes we think that it's parallel universes, and we don't realise that these are the, you know, hard-hitting topics that, you know, children as young as, you know, 5 these days are and younger are accessing these social media.
Well,
platforms.
I think that's one of the things, isn't it, that for a lot of the appeal among young people is the fact that in Andrew Tate's case, he uses the like of Snapchat and TikTok, which I suppose have primarily been notably used by younger people as well. Text in from Joanne, who says, Annette talking about Andrew Tate is spot on. I have 2 teenage boys and I totally agree with her. Another listener says, I have 3 boys. I'm listening to Annette today talking about this. 2 of my 3 boys are teenagers and they feel lost. She's right in what she's saying today. This texter says, a lot of Andrew Tate's advice is relevant for both men and women. Some of the women on the podcast have some opinions too against men. So people should pick the good and leave what they don't like, says this listener. Idel, listen, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. It's an interesting conversation, and I think it is important to hear a variety of different opinions on it as well. So thank you for getting in touch with us, sharing your thoughts with us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.